there's a great danger in religion of ceremoniousness. Religion has a lot of ceremonies, a lot of rites, a lot of rituals, a lot of activities that are defined and dictated from above that human beings weren't engaged in their normal day-to-day life. Nothing normal without a religious, of course, command to picking up a lulav and dalet minah. Nothing normal or instinctive about wearing tefillin, sitting in a sukkah, eating matzah. There are rites, there are rituals that are legislated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and wear mitzvah v'yosa. And there are two dangers. One is the danger of routinization, where just you repeat these acts and it's difficult to internalize these acts as part of your identity and your existence. That's the challenge, of course, to live and to stream your existence through the Torah's frequency, not necessarily the normal frequency that human beings would live. But it's hard, and when you repeat these acts, especially prayer, but it just can become so routinized, so much a part of your routine that there's no spontaneity, and there's no energy, and there's no internal awareness. Second danger, of course, is that religion itself becomes pitched. That's a magical system of pulleys and levers, of buttons, and you press this, and you're mekayem the mitzvah. You don't press this, you're not mekayem the mitzvah. You sit in this way. It's almost as if it's a mousetrap of nuts and bolts, rather than experiential and impersonal. So that's why it's so important to be authentic and internal with religion, and to realize that it's not just the acts, but it's an internal experience, emotional, spiritual. But on the flip side, there's also a danger in ignoring the role of ceremonies, the role of actions and objects. The Kuzari begins with this Kuzar king having a dream in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, your intentions are pure, and I understand you're looking for me and experiencing me, but your actions are off. Kavanascha ritzuya is the way the Kuzari begins, Ama Masecha einam ritzuyim. And this week's parsha reminds us of the role of actions and of ceremonies in bridging between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As much as we feel that that bridge has to be built upon authenticity and emotions and spirituality, it also has to be built on very precise and specific actions. And those are the actions for us to ascend the heavens and create the rendezvous. And that's why the Torah writes the Isser of Lo Tosef and Lo Tigra. You would think that a person should, at the very least, choose his own actions, because those are the actions that will elicit the greatest emotional response or spiritual awareness. And you think, even if there are specific actions, at least I can choose how many times to repeat those actions. And Lo Tosef says you can't choose how many days to sit in a sukkah. If you sit for 8 days, in Eretz Yisrael, you're over in Baal Tosef. And if you recite four brachas of Birchas Kohanim, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, you violate Baal Tosef. And Baal Tosef is so precise that it even shapes the objects we use, the Chafetz HaMitzvah. So a person would say, look, I know that I need to insert parshios in my tefillin, but why can't I choose an extra parsha or an extra box of tefillin instead of four? I had five. Why can't I choose an extra pair of tzitzis, or why can't I choose an extra element for the dalet minim? And the level of precision necessary in encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so acute and so carefully structured that in most cases, where these numbers, and Baal Tosef is always about a number, not about quantity. So, for example, a person eats 50 pounds of matzah on the night of Pesach, first of all, he'll get sick. But second of all, he hasn't violated Baal Tosef, because kezias is a quantity, and quantity is a shear. Shear is always a minimum. You have to eat at least a kezias in order for your achila to be halachically registered. But that's a minimum. You can eat one kezias, two kezias, four kezias, and it's still considered a ma'isachil, it's a threshold. Whereas lulav is a number, four. Tefillin is a number, four. Tzitzis is a number, four. Birchas Kohanim is a number, three psukim. Sitting in the sukkah is a number, 7 days. And if you up the number or reduce the number, then you're encountering Baal Tosef or Baal Tigra. The person would say, what difference does it make? And why can't I choose how many repetitions and how many iterations or how many items, so I'm not adding chocolate chip cookies to the tefillin, I'm just putting an extra parsha for the Torah. And the overall theme of Baal Telesif and Baal Tegor, there are differences between them, is that there's a great degree of specificity and precision in the encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it is an unnatural encounter, because it's not just WhatsApping your friend and expressing your emotions in a casual fashion. You're standing in front of the Melech Malchayim Malchim, and how do you bridge? How do you find him? And the second that that bridge becomes, and of course Hasidus tinkered with this in a very healthy way, and that's why the opposition to Hasidus was so stiff, because it threatened the integrity of the interaction with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Panim Lakan, it's a very, very delicate balance. I remember a couple of months ago, I was sitting at our Shabbos table, and we were having a conversation about my daughter having been in a seminar. She was in 12th grade then at that stage, and seminar discussed different streams and ideologies of Jews. Dati Lumi, Haredi, Chardali, Masarati. My daughter asked me, well, what are we, Abba? I said, well, we're nothing. We're just Ovdei Hashem. We don't belong to any ideology. We're Ovdei Hashem. Now, you can't build your own community for yourself and your family, so you have to choose a community of common values oriented by particular ideology. I chose to live in a Dati Lumi, a national religious community. And other people make choices to live in a Haredi community or a modern Orthodox community or a Chardali community or a Hasidish community, but those are choices. You make a choice to live in a secular community. It doesn't affect who you are. Many people want to live in a secular community for career purposes or for even to strengthen their own convictions. My daughter turned white as a ghost. I went out with her after the table conversation. She said, what bothered you so much? She said, because you said we're Ovdei Hashem. I said, yeah, that's exactly who we are. And she said, well, in some of the conversation people in her generation have, that means that you're an Ovdei Hashem, but you're not particularly beholden to halachic precision. You choose and you select and you find your own space for Shabbos and your own space for kashrus and what you do and don't keep. And I realized that obviously this was not just a cultural gap, but a linguistic gap, that Ovdei Hashem for me meant breaking free of ideology and focusing on Avodas Hashem. For her, it meant breaking free of halacha. Baruch Hashem, we clarified the difference. And it's very, very potent and very dangerous in Israel, because in Israel there's a greater sense of experimentation, greater sense of confidence, greater sense of not being in a siege mentality, and many, many differences between raising children in the States and Chutz La'aretz and raising children in Israel. But the message of Parshas Veschanan through these two Isurim messages that as much as authenticity and spiritual honesty is crucial as the fuel to render this experience of religion animated, the vehicle through which we encounter our Kodesh Baruch Hu is predetermined and mapped, and Nadav and Avihu were the victims of believing and convincing themselves that they could just, I mean, after all, they were great after alls. That's what they kept telling us. After all, we're in the Beis HaMikdash, and after all, we want to celebrate the induction, and after all, what difference does it make? And after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And halacha doesn't incorporate after alls. And what difference does it make? And why should there be a difference? And halacha is very, very precise, and therein lies the danger, because some people get so obsessed with halachic precision and halachic obsession sometimes that it's hard for them to create live, passionate, authentic experiences. I was just in Tzvat yesterday with my family at the Klezmer Festival, and got a lot of very different people, a lot of people who are different from one another, feeling free to express their differences and express their identities. And you could feel the authenticity. The authenticity in Tzvat is palpable. No one is following codes of dress, and no one is following codes. And to a degree, I'm walking among Tzvat and thinking, wow, the world could use a little bit more of this tzfat, freedom to express yourself and find yourself rather than being coded. And I think that there are a lot of communities that I visit that are extremely, extremely coded. And to me, at least, I'm not smarter than the next person. This is just my own observation. I think it's fool's gold. I think at a certain point, the codes wear thin. And if you're not left with anything underneath the surface or not enough authenticity, then you're left with nothing. And then you become adrift. And I think at some point, someone's going to pay the price for too much coding. But halacha is a code, definition of halacha, and in our search for authenticity, the precision of halacha,
You can be someone that, that is Svat-like and has that spirit, but also is very, as I'm sure most of the people in Svat are, very meticulous about how they adhere to their halacha. So it's an interesting idea born by this Isser of Baal Tosef and Motiga.